Hi there. I'm Deborah Herman, and you are with me for Soul Odyssey. Or I should say I'm with you for your Soul Odyssey, because know it or not, you're on one. And we are going, this is our first show, live broadcast, so I'm looking forward to your calls. But we are going to spend this hour together, every Thursday this hour, for as long as we do this, talking about different topics of spirituality, metaphysics. We can do some animal communication. I can answer some of your questions about specific topics. I'd love to hear some of your comments and can do some guidance. I'd like to keep the guidance relatively short, although, of course, whatever spirit brings through, I'm going to convey, and perhaps someone's call can help someone else. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I am an author, animal communicator, and I am a psychic medium. I use various gifts, mostly clairaudience. I believe in communicating with the higher self and the divine presence, or believe that that's what I do. And before we would begin, I'd like you all in the listening audience to do your own kind of prayer that tells you that what you are receiving from me and from your own guidance is of the highest of the high, is for the greatest good, and will help you on your path toward spiritual ascendance. Now, what does that mean? Now, of course, you're listening to BBS Radio, and we know that BBS Radio is the home of all things that are uncommon and are interesting and expanding our minds into areas that we might not find in the mainstream. But at this point in our development as a society, I'm very pleased to see that many of the things that we've been all talking about for years and are talking about now are becoming more mainstream. It's the world of the mundane that hasn't seemed to catch up with it. And I love my, I'll say a shout out to my friends on Facebook, because I think that's one of the most wonderful and amazing ways to connect with people throughout the country who share like-minded perspectives on metaphysics and spirituality, and we are all each other's teachers. I can remember a time many years ago, although I'm not going to date myself, but it was, it was the 80s, when there weren't so many metaphysical bookstores, spiritual bookstores. Really, you had to find anything esoteric. For me, it was in a little house that had, you know, dusty old books, and it was fun, but it was, you know, you felt like you were doing something like bad. I think we may have a caller. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yes. What is your name?
Yes. Hi, this is Tanya. I'm one of your Facebook friends.
Oh, thank you for joining. Oh, thank you. And
I'm calling for a mini reading or any information you might get on animal communications. My husband had to put down a 20-year-old family dog 2 days ago. She was very old and decrepit, and his parents are having a hard time with it. And I just wondered if you were getting anything or something I could pass on to help them through this.
Well, first of all, she's not gone yet. I'm getting she. I don't know if it was a she or a he.
It was a she, yes.
And she's not gone yet because it's too soon. So they may actually feel her presence, and they may actually see her out of the corner of their eye.
Yes,
but
they heard her little feet.
Yeah, she's not gone yet. Now, you know, again, I am seeing something more like, you know, a golden retriever type cuddly dog, but I don't know if it's you know, it's not 100%. When you get a vision, it's more of an essence. The essence I'm getting is of a very, you know, loving, affectionate, furry kind of dog. And what I'm seeing is that she's a little bewildered, and she is a little, she's kind of bewildered that she doesn't seem to be on the same side, you know, and she's bewildered that, that her companions are so upset because all she knows is that she's really feeling pretty darn good.
Yeah.
You know, she's got all her faculties and she's running around and, you know, so she's a little bewildered. I think we need to go through the grieving process and to know that she loves them. I mean, they are it. And they always will be. You know, they may think that they don't want another dog companion soon. But I see them maybe taking on a dog that someone else can't keep. Not a regular rescue, but maybe like a family member who has a dog and then they just like, they go to college or something and they just can't keep the dog.
That sounds like them. They would do that.
Yeah. And,
they actually lost a couple dogs in the last year, so I'm not sure which one you're seeing, because one was a big kind of furry wolf type dog and another one was a small dog.
I was seeing more of a fluffy kind of dog. Is that the one that is further along? The small dog is the one that passed most recent?
Yeah, she just passed 2 days ago, and she's a dachshund, like a little wiener dog, very small.
Well, the other one was really furry. Well, I'm seeing the furry one, which, of course, as you know, could mean that that dog is there for the other dog. But I don't feel that the dog that's recently passed has passed over.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, but... You know, as soon as
the other husband, my husband's dog is the other dog, and that's the one maybe you're picking up on because of my husband, because he was really upset about that dog when it went.
Well, there are loves. There are loves in our companions. I have my two, I have two of mine here this evening, including Phoebe. I'm sure you've seen the picture of Phoebe. She's my new baby. We don't know if she'll be a therapy dog yet, though, because she bites people's noses, including mine. So anyway, Tanya, I hope that helped.
Thank you. That'll give them some comfort, I'm sure.
Absolutely, and I do see another dog for them, and they should allow it because they don't feel right without one.
You're absolutely right about that.
Okay, well, I'm
well,
so
thank
happy
you, and congratulations
doing.
On your new show.
Thank you so much, and keep in touch and keep being in the audience.
We'll
see you again sometime. Thank you. So animals are so amazing. They are truly here right now to give us comfort and companionship. And I know that, I'm always told when it's time to get another dog, either through a dream. And then I tell my husband, he says, oh no, you didn't have another dream. We don't need another dog. And then of course we get one and we're all in love. So I think we have another caller, I'm delighted. Welcome to the show. And
Deborah,
are you there?
This is Nicole.
Nicole?
Nicole's from Massachusetts.
Oh, I know
we
moved
today.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're also a Facebook friend. Oh no!
Actually,
I know. Oh, we talked. I got it. You are a writer. You know, I'm in my I'm in my spiritual metaphysical state, and when I do that, you know, people don't understand, and the readers in the audience, you will all understand this. It's very embarrassing because when you're in a frame of mind where you're tuned in, because if we walked around all the time tuned in, we would, well, do what I do, which is sometimes I bump into walls, I trip over air, and you really don't want to always be tuned into people because it would be nothing but constant noise. And so I have, like, this little database where sometimes I have to, you know, I have to reboot and I have to figure out, okay, where did that conversation come from? And you'll also be pleased to know, at least for me, that when we do readings or guidance for you, that it truly is like a conduit, and we often don't remember any of the details. And you'll come up and you'll say, and it's a blessing if something has come through that's helpful, but you'll come, you know, you might say, oh, that, you remember that thing you said to me? And I'll smile and nod, and I'll just feel very blessed, and I'll say, no, actually, I really don't. So anyway, Nicole, that was no insult that I didn't remember
no.
you right away. And what can I do to help you today? Do you have a specific question?
I want to say congratulations on your show, and also to say that it was fascinating what you were talking about with the last caller. For me, my question would be in terms of the spirituality and creativity in writing, and basically where to go from here.
Okay. I think I'm getting an instant message for you, and I am. Spirit says that one of the issues for you is that you have so much respect, and I'll just take an aside here. I don't know whether the audience is aware that I also have been or am or partial at the moment, because I'm doing this kind of work, but I'm a literary agent specializing in spirituality types of spirituality and spiritual material, and writing as a spiritual process. So Nicole did an interview with me earlier today about writing, and we hadn't really talked about her own work, but the connection to spirit right now is saying that one of the issues you have is that you have so much respect for writing that mm-hmm. you will often pull yourself right off the path. Does that make any sense?
Yes, I have a profound love and respect for it. I suppose I'm wondering about the next step, trying so hard to reach one goal, going in many different directions.
Well, basically what I'm telling you, excuse me, that's Phoebe. Phoebe wants me to say something to you. Did you hear Phoebe in the background? No? Well, let me tell you, Phoebe was barking. And she wants me to tell you that you need to chillax. Remember? we talked about that today?
Yes,
we did. Yes, because you need to focus on, I don't know if you have a completed book. Do you have
a
complete? Okay. So now you need to let the book settle. Okay. Now, is it fiction, nonfiction?
Fiction.
Okay. One of the things you can do for the next step is, as you've been doing, is to learn what you can about the writing industry and about publishing, because it's kind of like some of us we're called to be writers. And it's like, okay, that I think I might just become a brain surgeon. You know, it seems like the same absurdity. You go from being one person one day, and the next day, oh, I know I'm going to write this book. What do I do now? So you're in the process of continuing your discovery of the protocols of the industry. And you've been approaching it. What is the name of your website? Do you have a website for writers?
It's the right place at the right time.
Yes, and I haven't had a chance to look at it. It would be literally www.therightplace.
Mm-hmm.
The right place at the right time?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm sure there are other writers who would like to look at it. But you are asking a lot of questions. And I'm sure that you've been reading books. The process of getting published takes a learning curve, but it's really a matter of learning how to write a synopsis of your book. Have you done that yet?
Yes, I've been studying the publishing industry for quite a few years now.
So what stage are you?
With my journalistic and editorial work, I'm at a great stage. It's more that the novel has kind of taken a back seat.
but it's ready to be published?
Yes.
And where are you in that process?
In that process, I suppose at a standstill.
And what's holding you back?
I'm not.
Now remember Phoebe's words of wisdom. Phoebe said, chillax. Okay? Are you afraid to send it out?
No.
Then the next step for you, and do you have an agent?
No.
Do you know how to find an agent?
Yes.
Okay. So the next step for you, and this is for anyone writing a book of any kind, I specialize more in nonfiction, the next step for you is to target, I hope I'm answering your question. I'm not sure if you're looking for a metaphysical answer or a knowledgeable answer.
Probably I've explored the knowledge region. Probably looking more for a metaphysical answer.
Do you want reassurance that the book is saleable?
I suppose any feelings that you have about it, any readings that you might pick up from me or so forth.
You know, I hate to sound like a broken record, but you have a very, you know, I'm feeling it's a wonderful book. I don't know how quickly it will sell because this is not the best market for any kind of book of any genre. And this is typically a difficult area to break through because there just aren't as many books published in a spiritual slash fiction sort of way. If it's more of a mainstream fiction, I think you should just send it out. And I think it can certainly sell. It may take time. And the reason I keep, you know, telling you to relax about it is to give it to God. And what you'll do, you know, this is a combination of spiritual and knowledge. What you'll do is you'll write a smashing query letter, which is the letter of introduction, with a one-page synopsis that reads like a movie review. You know, the movie, what are they called? See, I'm blanking out. You know the things you watch when you're watching, going to a movie, the little
trailer.
Previews? Yes,
yeah.
A trailer.
Sure.
Your synopsis should show your writing style, and it should be like a movie trailer. And it should go along with your query letter, get them interested, and just put it out there, and then get some feedback. Because the worst that'll happen is you'll hear nothing. I mean, that's annoying, and it happens all the time. The second thing is you'll get rejection letters, which happens all the time. You just don't even think about it. It's not personal. And or you might get a rejection letter that gives you some information, and it may be useful information. Maybe something has to be changed here. Maybe I need to position it in a different way there. Or you will get an offer for representation. Finding an agent is a wonderful thing. It's a wondrous thing. However, we talked about the 7 lessons, which I will introduce on the show. Time seems to be going quickly, but one of the Soul Odyssey is broken up into 7 lessons. One of them is self-protection, and for writers, self-protection is a biggie because there are many, many, many scams. And so, when you're looking for an agent, you need to make sure it's not someone who is going to ask to be paid to read your work. Okay. So,
right, I've educated myself on that.
Yes. And so, you know, send to legitimate agents and just send it out there and let God take it to where it needs to go. Now, for my audience, I will always use the word God or divine presence. Please interpret that in your personal way. But that's my comfortable way. So let spirit and God guide you, and let it. I think you're going to get some very positive results.
That's
and
wonderful.
And hit
Thank
the large places and the small places.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you, and great luck with the rest of your first show.
Well, thank you, and come back again. I hope you'll be a regular listener Thursday nights.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Nicole. So I probably should explain what these seven lessons are. Everyone on Earth, this is, first of all, and I'm sure many of you have thought about this, we are really in a classroom. That's why we're here. And over the years that I've been studying metaphysics and have had my various teachers and visions, etc., I have been given a list of seven lessons. And we will be visiting them on and on and on over the time that we're together. But let's take our next caller and see what we're going to talk about this time. Hi, caller.
Hello.
Hi there.
How are you, Deborah?
I'm great. Who is this?
This is Becky from Ohio.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I have to tell you all, my Facebook friends, my new friends on the radio, that this is Becky. This is my dear. This is my dear, dear, dear friend. And she also has been not only a friend, but a student from the very, very beginning. Isn't that right?
A long, long time. And it's great. It's Thursday nights again.
I know. Isn't this awesome?
It's
a little later, though. Usually I would fall asleep at 9.
That's okay.
But we had to reach our friends on the West Coast.
I am so happy to hear you on a radio where everybody can hear you, Deborah. This is wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Becky. This is such a gift.
And oh, good. What a gift. I saw you on Facebook tonight, so here I am.
I know. And how would we describe the journey we've been through? We started out back in Ohio, I think it was 1988,
mm-hmm.
wasn't it,
absolutely.
Or 1989?
It was 88.
And
Deborah had a TV show then.
Yeah, it was a TV show. And I think we met at one of the open houses.
Yes, we did. Well, actually, Dean's the one who brought me there.
Aha, Dean. That's Becky's wonderful husband. And we had been doing a television show, and we had had me and my partner at the time had done an open house where we had mini readings. And it was just amazingly successful. We met all kinds of amazing people, and then we started our Thursday night class and got to know each other. And this is, again, Thursday night. This is the blessing time. We met for, I think it was about 8 years. Thursday
was that
night?
How long it was?
Yes,
it was quite a journey. I mean, you described it. It was a journey. We went through so many things together, and then it's just ongoing.
Yeah, and it's time now to reintroduce the seven lessons.
Absolutely.
And I don't even think you've seen the now we have the I've created a or Spirit has helped me create a coloring book for adults that
I have
is
seen your coloring book.
You've seen it?
It's gorgeous. I haven't seen the finished product.
Oh, that's right. Well, now it's finished and it has messages. And I'm working on a second volume. The first volume will be available on my website. But it's, in fact, I'm going to pick a page for you. This is a coloring book. It's called Soul Odyssey Mandalas. And I've been doing automatic drawings now for probably about a year and a half. And
hey, Deb, why don't you tell people what your website is?
Thank you. Again, I need people to keep me grounded. The only website I have right now is www.jeffherman.com. But my Soul Odyssey, soulodyssey.org is, I think, and .net. Those are under construction. And
okay.
I can also be found on Facebook. And for those of you on Facebook, I have my regular site, but the fun site where I'm trying to create a spiritual community is called Don't Worry, Be Ordinary. And
oh, I love
when
it.
Because you know what the message is.
Absolutely.
So when you really start attending the show on a regular basis and you understand some of the underlying messages, that sums it up right there.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I do a reading for someone, and I hope I'm not repeating myself, I'm going to listen to this later and I'm going to say, oh, my gosh. It's always, the beginning of the reading is always to tell someone to stop worrying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think where we are now in society with what's happening in, you know, with the economy and with the world. And by the way, this is a no political zone. There's a no bad news zone. Unless it's something that we can pray for and help. This show is a no politics. We can speak of world events and helping each other, but politics really are a creation of humans and often brings out the worst in us because we're not looking at, yeah, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, I see that every day on the social sites.
Yes.
Like,
so, yeah.
Everybody gets along great, and then somebody mentions politics.
Yes, exactly. And
yeah,
there's so much, people are so diverging at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen anything like it. Nobody really
mm-hmm.
agrees with anything.
Right.
You know, it's almost like
everything could change every day.
Everything. And, you know, it's like Spirit just said, Deb, do the radio show. And said, Deb, remind people of the simple things because... and that's why I also am bringing Phoebe into the matter because she keeps me grounded too. It's almost like if I'm not grounded, she bites my nose and it brings me back to reality, literally. We're living also in so much fear,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to help lift that for people so that they're not constantly, every single day, waking up with worry, anxiety. You know, everything is all right. The universe.
Well, Deborah,
yeah.
I've had a difficult couple of weeks here.
Okay.
So what do you have to say to me?
Well, first thing is,
it's in my workplace.
I know that's always been a very toxic place for you.
Yeah.
But you know what? This has always been an issue for you. Spirit is basically telling me, don't let yourself get sucked in by your coworkers' dysfunction.
Okay.
You know, a lot of the people where you work are just negative, negative, negative. You know, and they somehow, especially remember, what time of year is this?
Fall.
No, you know better than that.
Oh, thank you. I got
okay.
it.
Okay. Okay. For some people,
trick or treat night.
Right? It's trick or treat night. It is Halloween. Now,
right.
I'm not going to say it's negative or positive, but every type of energy is enhanced at this time of year because the veil is thin. And for people who are very open and sensitive, it is a time. There are people who are positive white witches and all of that. But it's also a power time for people who play around with the dark energies. And even, you know, so I'm a very big advocate of self-protection, self-protection, self-protection. And if you're fine, see, the 2 weeks leading up to this time, I'm sure, and you're a Taurus also,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure everything that could annoy you has been annoying you and worse.
Absolutely. And worse.
Yeah. Everything. And stupid things are going to happen to push you out of balance. And you're a person who's been, you know, studying and working with energy, and I know you're also a Reiki master of some, I don't know what level or whatever. I actually don't, you'd have to explain more about that to me. But I know that you have a tremendous amount of connection to energy. So.
Yeah, I can feel yours.
Yeah.
It's quite strong.
Oh, you mean over the radio?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, my. Oh, this is good. We'll send some really good healing vibes out into the universe. I don't know. I'm hoping we really build a nice audience for this show. It is the first night, and I don't know how to determine that.
As soon as I got on the phone.
Yeah, did you start hearing sensing the buzz?
Yes.
Well, it's sent out with lots of love and commitment to you and to my new friends and to people who at this time of year, you know, I wouldn't say hide under your bed, although I used to think I wanted to, but be prepared that if you have negative thoughts, basically say, how did they used to say this, I don't mean to make fun, but one of the preachers used to say something like, demons, get out! You know what I'm talking about?
No,
I don't know who it was.
I've gotten a message from you. This is what I need. I need to protect myself, and I haven't been doing that, so I will definitely do that.
Yes, you will, and I will send love and protection to you.
Thank you.
And you need some lapis.
Oh, okay, I have some.
So put some lapis on your desk and light some candles. Are you allowed to do that in your office? Probably not.
No.
Well, do it at home, but don't forget to blow them out. You don't want to burn your beautiful house down.
Okay.
Okay? So I love you very much.
I hope that
you'll tune in on Thursday nights and tell other people.
I will.
And pass the word. And remember, my Facebook page is Don't Worry, Be Ordinary.
Ordinary, yes.
Ordinary, because that's...
I will look forward to your website.
Well, thank you so much. It's being built, and it will be available very, very, very soon. Oh, I meant to... I don't know whether we have another caller. I didn't hear a beep. So I am going to... you know what? I probably can't get another caller because I'm talking to you.
Well,
I don't know. Because I'm new at this. So, anyway, come visit me. You know where I live.
All right. Yes,
and God bless. I hope you tune in next week, and perhaps I'll be able to talk to you then.
Okay.
Okay.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Okay. Now, what is a soul odyssey mandala? I literally do automatic drawing, which is something that I didn't really know had a tradition. But the people back, the surrealists, the artists who were the surrealists, including Miro, etc., they also, if you look it up on the internet, which again is an amazing thing for a research nerd like me, you can find the school of automatic drawing. And it's literally where the pen guides my hand, or the energy guides my hand, which guides the pen. I don't know quite how it works, but I can't do the drawings if I just am using my intellect. It has to be a co-creation with the divine presence. And the drawings have symbols. They are mandalas because they're not circular, but they have, they're closed. It's one line and there's nothing it's all, you know, it all reaches a certain point of closure. And I am going to pull a page for the radio audience for this evening, and I'm going to see what the universe's message is for all of us for today. Okay. Now, I wish you could see the drawing. I think at some time in the future I will find a way to post graphics. But the message is to live your dreams. Our inner world is as real as our outer world. When we dream, we do not feel the limitations of time and space, nor do we feel limited by other people's expectations. What we don't realize is that we can live in the physical world much in the same way if we are in tune with our soul's messages. Pay attention to what your dreams tell you. This is one of the best ways to connect to your higher consciousness and the divine. So, that is the Mandala message for tonight, and I think that's a very good one. If we have any callers who would like to talk about this particular topic, I would look forward to it. If not, I will continue the discussion with myself, which I'm often told I talk to myself. But which self am I talking to? That is the question. Our inner world is as real as our outer world. I'm sure that many of you have had dreams where you know that you are on the astral level. You have an existence that is a spiritual existence other than the physical existence you have here. Now, I know that when I first started to come into awareness, one of the first ways that I learned about it was through a dream. I had a loss in the family, and I didn't realize that dreams can mean many things. And in this dream, I saw the person. He had been relatively elderly, but not, I mean, in, I think he was like 72. So not in the later stages of life. And he sat, all I saw was this older gentleman relative sitting on a stool, and he looked at me and he got a big grin, which is how he usually looked. He was a very jovial man, and he looked at me and he took out his teeth, a full set of false teeth. Now, I had no idea that he had false teeth. This is something that was only revealed to me in the dream state. And it was very shocking. But it was a way to prove to me that it was something I couldn't possibly have known and that my gifts were awakening. Because one of the biggest things for people who are coming into awareness and are trying to learn about their gifts is to get over that little bit of fear. You want to be careful, but you don't want to be fearful. Because things can freak you out. I'm a clairvoyant, but I don't, some people can see with their eyes open, and I see in my mind's eye. And that's because, you know, some things, if you're a logical human and you don't question some of the amazing things that happen on these other dimensional planes, then, you know, you can kind of lose touch with reality. Or whatever that is. I mean, you want to make sure you're sane. And so this was really an amazing experience when he took out his teeth. And I checked and verified that indeed when he was in World War II, he had lost his complete set of teeth and, you know, had a good set of dentures and nobody ever knew. And then after that, when I was more settled in with the idea of someone from the other side being able to connect to you through a dream, he was able to give me important information and guidance. And so that was really a blessing because it was someone that I was comfortable with coming into my dream and teaching me things. So our inner world is as real as our outer world. And then when we dream, we don't feel the limitations of time and space, and we don't feel limited by other people's expectations. Now, of course, some dreams are just ways of working through emotional and psychological issues. So, you know, there are dreams that you may be fighting with someone or working on something, and it's a little bit different. But then you wake up and you feel maybe cleansed because you've been working on something within you. But then there are dreams where you have visitations and you can really, you can also control your dreams through what's called lucid dreaming, where you are thinking, you know, if you create the awareness that you are in a dream state, you can say, I don't like where this is going, and you can actually change things in your dream. Another message from this is to pay attention to what your dreams are telling you, because it even says in the book of Job, I believe, that God contacts us through our dreams. So it's important as a human being that you, for your soul's path, for your spiritual path, without forgetting that we live in these physical bodies, is to make sure that you get enough sleep and, you know, to try to give yourself a good amount. And when you wake up, try to keep a, I don't always do this, but I know if there's a dream that I'm really, really supposed to remember, I won't forget it. But I'm sure that many of my dreams and little messages and teachings have flown out the window when I wake up, because I'm not always good about keeping a dream journal. But what you need to do is, before you go to bed, say, I can dream, I do dream, I will remember my dream. And the first minute you wake up, before you even really come out of your full dream state, just write it down. Write down random thoughts, random phrases. And it may look really stupid, or it may reveal to you little symbols that will trigger awareness later. I don't know about any of you, but, excuse me, I know that sometimes I will have words that filter into my consciousness. And so I always try to keep the dictionary handy. And the words are really, they're just odd or archaic words that I wouldn't normally use. And when I figure them out, if they keep coming and they keep coming and they keep coming, and I figure them out, I know it's either something that I have to research, or it's something I have to remember. Or once I kept getting the word paucity in my mind, in my conscious mind, and it related to someone I knew who was basically tight with her money and was going to have, it was sort of a warning for her relatives that she was going to have a power struggle with them over, you know, the family estate and things of human beings. But what was interesting is I consider myself to have a pretty good vocabulary, being a writer. But spirit will get the messages to you in many, many different ways, and these were not words that I knew consciously. Those are ways that spirit will send you messages. I think that's it for the Soul Odyssey Mandala message for tonight, but we will continue with it, and we'll pick another page next week. I think we will talk about the seven lessons in more detail next week, and I hope that we get some good additional calls, and we'll do some animal communication. I'd like to introduce to you the concept of the seven lessons. They are our cosmic curriculum. We are here. We are in a classroom. All of our lives have purpose, but we are here learning seven specific things. One is courage. One is tolerance. One is self-protection, self-love, ego, love of humanity, and God love. And we will learn them together. And you will understand how they apply in your life. And you'll even learn how to do your own soul progression reading so that you can have a sense of what incidents may happen in your life, because if you look at them, if you look at your life objectively, and if you write your own book, which we really are all writing our own books of our lives, if you write your own book and you look at all the chapters and you make an outline and you compare it to the seven lessons, you can get a good sense of what your strengths and weaknesses are. The seven lessons represent your vulnerabilities. If there is going to be anything negative around you, it's going to hit you in these areas. If, for example, your spiritual lesson in this lifetime is self-love, then you are going to have lessons of self-love until you are able to understand and move beyond. For example, a spiritual interpretation of self-love is a sense of worthiness, because so many of us have so much faith in spirit and God and the universe, and we know that we've got angels and archangels. We're able to love, but are we able to be loved? And that is one of the greatest lessons that human beings all face in living in this time, in this world, and on this planet. Is, are we worthy? And it affects us in every single way. I was talking to Nicole earlier. She was the writer. And I don't know if you're still listening, Nicole. But self-love is a lesson that is very difficult for writers, because you're putting yourself out there and you're constantly being compared to other people. You face a great deal of rejection. And if you don't have complete faith of in your worthiness, you may never get out of the gate. And you'll say, well, why is that person getting published? Well, they sent their manuscript to an agent, you know, and you really have to, you can't sit back. You have to take action in your world, in writing your own book of your own life, in the figurative sense, that you have to take charge and bypass your feelings of unworthiness. That's the lesson of self-love. And then you become a pure messenger, because all of us are messengers, whether we're writing books, whether we're communicating to another person, whether we're called to share our gifts. And to, you know, many of my friends on Facebook are metaphysicians and readers and healers. We're all messengers. And so we need to look objectively at ourselves, especially healers, you know, physician, heal thyself. We need to know, do we have vulnerabilities? How are we? Where are we with our seven lessons? There's nothing, you can't just say, okay, I'm going to learn this and check off the list. But with higher awareness and an effort to keep in connection with our higher selves and with God and with spirit and all of the guides, if we are doing that every day and we're putting on basically our spiritual armor, then when these lessons come along, we will consistently become stronger and more aware and better able to be full citizens of the universe and to bring positive and healing energy into the world. We will be vessels and we will be co-creators. And that is why we're here. So we only talked a little bit about self-love today. I'll repeat the lessons. Courage, tolerance, self-protection, self-love, ego, love of humanity, and God love. And there are many, many, many applications. For some of you, if you become consistent listeners to the show, I hope you will be. You can also call in, and I will do a soul progression for you. I will tell you what lessons you came in this time, and I believe in reincarnation, You know, again, I'm hoping I'm among friends with that concept. I believe I am. I will tell you what you came in to learn, and it'll make more sense to you because we're not alone. Life is not random, and we are constantly guided by Spirit and God because all of our guides want us to be successful. They love us, and they want us to be successful. Whatever, and I'm not speaking about prosperity necessarily, although prosperity follows a happy heart. I'm speaking about being the best people, individuals, and selves that we can be. And when we make, I don't believe in mistakes, I believe in mistakes. So when we make a mistake, then God and the universe, they feel sad for us. If I'm putting it in, I guess it's called anthropomorphic terms, it would be a compassionate sense of, oh, I'm so sorry you had to go through that. Oh, darn, I guess you needed the 2x4 on the head. We really wanted to make it easier for you, but, you know, human beings, we don't learn easily. We're experimenters, and that's why we're in a physical world. So when we do things like, you know, make what we think are stupid decisions, the universe is not mad at us. They want to guide us toward the light. And I see that we are headed toward the end of our show for this evening. I am absolutely thrilled. We had some very interesting callers. I will be here every Thursday night, and if I'm not, you will know. I'd like for you to take this journey with me. I'd love for you to call in, and those of you who are healers, you can contact me on my Facebook fan page, Don't Worry, Be Ordinary, and that means you're all extraordinary because you're willing to be healers and you're willing to be spiritual people. But it means that you don't need to worry that you're not doing your job because you are, all of you. You're all doing a wonderful, wonderful job. And I'd love for you to contact me and let me know about you because I would love to bring guests on future shows. Although, as you can see, I always have things to talk about. It's so wonderful to get an exchange of ideas. And I want my audience to also know about the wonderful people out there who are healers and writers and who've been given their own piece of this big puzzle that's called life on Earth. And we are all cogs of an infinite wheel. We're loved. We're blessed. So, keeping in mind that this is a time of very high energy, make sure that you pray for your angels to watch over you and to put their light of love and protection around you. I pray for happiness and for well-being and for awareness so that we can continue on our journey together. This has been Deborah Herman, and I'll join you next Thursday on Soul Odyssey.